Sportsline continues on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan.
Welcome back to Sportsline. Going to get with Andrew Brandt here in just a second. I want to remind you, brought to you in part by Hum by Verizon. Is your check engine light on? Hum by Verizon can tell you why, so you can fix small problems before they become big ones. Find out how to make your car smarter, safer, and more connected at hum.com. Always very, very pleased, grateful to have Andrew Brandt, ESPN business analyst, the MondayMorningQuarterback.com columnist, along with us here on Sportsline today. Andrew, how you doing?
Hey, good to be with you again, guys.
How's my guy today, man? How you doing?
There's my man, my brother's keeper, in live and in color right there.
How you doing? How's life and the family?
All good, all good. Just back from Houston. I didn't stay for the game, never do. Started when I was with the Packers. I'm not going to stay for the game if we weren't in it. And this one I'm a little regretful.
That was a heck of a finish. Andrew, what were your thoughts as that game was unfolding? Some of the highs for you anyway, observations.
Well, it just seemed like the Patriots were flat, that they were figured out, that there was no life to them. And you sort of go through, it's funny because with Ron Wolf, we used to do this all the time, sort of look at two teams and go through by position. And really pretty much every position but quarterback, it looked like Atlanta had the edge. And it just turned. And I'm not sure exactly what turned. I mean, we all saw the sack and the fumble and all those different things. But unfortunately, I'm kind of left with this adage about games are lost more than they're won, and I understand the greatness of Brady and what had to be done there, but it's just frustrating. You almost feel for Atlanta fans the way they had it. If they just ran the ball and kicked the field goal, it would be over, but I guess that's why they play the game.
It's Andrew Brandt here on Sportsline.
You know, with that being said, Super Bowl's over, football's over. What are the big issues facing the NFL next year?
Well, it does seem like, Harry, we have something every year that pops up. You know, domestic violence, Deflategate, the bounty gate, it'll pop up.
Something.
We don't know what that is. But, you know, some of the things I've been covering have all revolved around relocation. We just had the Chargers move 56 years in San Diego. And they're up to L.A., which a lot of people are like, L.A. can't even support one, let alone two teams. And I always point out, I'm not sure how much that matters. The NFL is all about the brand and the profitability, and they're more profitable and more bigger brand with teams in L.A. than they are with teams in San Diego or St. Louis. And it's tough for people to realize, but that's what's behind these moves. The fans are kind of caught in the crossfire. And we're going to look ahead 2 months from now. We're going to be voting in the NFL owners' meetings about Vegas. And that's something sort of tracking. Will the NFL move to Vegas? Will the Raiders be given the green light to do so? Do they have the money? Is the NFL going to allow sort of the bastion of gambling in this country to have an NFL team? All things to look at as we go forward.
Are you okay with the Raiders in Vegas?
You know, I am, and what I hear from ownership is there is more concern about a small market that's tourism-based and sustaining a fan base long-term. That's a bigger concern than gambling. And to me, that is a huge statement where the NFL has been and where they're going. It's They're not even worried about the gambling part of it. Now, the deal is falling a bit apart because a big-time gambling guy, Adelson, is pulling out, but that may be a silver lining because they don't want a guy too associated with gambling to be part of it. I just think that it's inevitable. The NFL goes there, and they might as well go sooner than later.
That's Andrew Brandt, ESPN business analyst on The Fan. Harry and I are talking about getting some help on defense for the Packers and maybe possibly playing in free agency. You talk about this and follow it a lot. The salary cap, it seems to me anyway, outside looking in, the teams are managing their caps better and maybe doing a little bit the Andrew Brandt way, being fiscally responsible, trying to anyway. But is that true, or is there more money in the cap going up? Does that help the Packers maybe?
Yeah, all that's too crisp, but I'll anticipate your next five questions, which is, I've been getting this question for 20 years. You know, are they going to be more active?
We're begging.
Help us, man.
I'm finally asking the question, Andrew. I never did, and I finally, it's like, I have to. I'm frustrated.
Well, the answer I've always had, even when I was there, was what part of Ted Thompson do you not understand? And I think that it's important to note that you know, we're talking about the Patriots everywhere I go, how great they are, their sustained success, how do they do it? They don't spend. So we're talking about a team with sustained excellence that is like the love affair of America right now, and they don't spend. They don't spend on anyone, including their quarterback, in terms of marketplace spending. Will the Packers be active in free agency? I think they might, but it won't be the first 48-hour, what we call kind of the stupid money phase. It will be the bargains, like it was with Woodson, like it was with Cook, like it was with Peppers. You look around a few days, maybe a week into it. Hey, no one's running that guy. Let's take a gander at him with a, you know, depending on how you want to define it, bargain deal. That's what they'll play in free agency. I just think, I don't know who people have their eye on, but if it's a first hour, first day free agent, they're not going to be playing in that game.
That's Andrew Brand here on The Fan.
And I know what you said, and we've watched it. Ted, we've seen him, and I know how he does, builds it from within. And I'm saying I could be right or wrong, but with Aaron Rodgers so close, and I know money's, but isn't it time, in my opinion, it's time for another Reggie White move?
Yeah, I guess the question, Harry, is always who is that and can it be done? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is this, that Ted has his reasons why, and some of them I believed all the way, which is there's a reason why some of these guys are in free agency. I always ask the question, why doesn't the team want them? Their home team, their incumbent team, why are they out there? And does it? I think the bigger issue besides money from Ted's point of view is it pushes down a younger player, retards their development another year. So you get a corner. And then Rollins and or Randall are pushed down another year.
I know what you're saying.
And I know what fans are saying. Well, fans probably are saying, so what? But from a building point of view, from a sustained point of view, you don't want to retard that development. You get a receiver. Who are you pushing out of the picture? You're pushing out Allison? You're pushing out Janice? And people may say, so what? But the feeling is we're developing those young guys.
And I understand,
yeah,
I understand that. But here's the thing. At what point, like, what point do – because what I have found based on Ted's, you know, the drafting, and we know what he loves doing. But isn't that putting an incredible amount of pressure on Ted to always be right? Because when you're wrong in this league, get drafting guys or – that development doesn't happen as quick as you want it to. Don't you stop the stunt the growth of the team?
I think that's a fair point. I just think back to Woodson, and there's a line that I don't. Ted didn't say it, but it's kind of resonated around that free agency is the price you pay for poor drafting. When we signed Charles, we had drafted two guys in the top three rounds just a year before, Ahmad Carroll and Joey Thomas. Well, obviously they didn't work. So we paid the penalty financially with Charles, and of course he became Defensive Player of the Year and probably the second best free agent signing besides Reggie. But, yeah, you're talking about all these things kind of hitting each other right now. What do you do?
You know, Andrew, I think sometimes it got to be in your position when you're recruiting guys and you are looking at some free agents. Not everybody wants to come to Green Bay, but it never behooves an organization to say, here's a list of the guys that we tried to get and failed, because failure is not a good selling point. But sometimes through no fault of the teams and not trying to make, I mean, they make a push, but you can't always get guys. So we might talk about go get this guy, go get that guy. Well, guess what? Calls are made and there isn't any interest on the other side.
Yeah, sometimes you do see that. And, you know, I come back to Charles, and just the month-long negotiation, Charles didn't sign until draft week in April, where I knew we were the most money out there, but it just goes on, and, you know, what about Green Bay? And as I've said before, I felt like the Chamber of Commerce there, just trying to sell it, trying to get them there, and go through the exercise of – and I – listen, it's not to say Green Bay is not a great place, but we did and still do, as everyone knows, try to get guys early in their contract stream So they're not free agents mm-hmm. looking at the options out there that obviously are a lot more bright lights than Green Bay.
Yeah, you know, when you say that and then look at numbers and stuff, I guess I look at New England, and you know, we know New England doesn't spend a whole bunch of money. Matter of fact, they'll get rid of guys, and that's the hoodie, and he reminds them of Bill Washington. They'll get rid of guys. But wouldn't that, as an agent, you put your agent hat on, if the Packers approached you and you had a client that was pretty decent, how much of the lull or the lure of winning closer to winning a Super Bowl goes into negotiating? Because Hoodie, I think of Long in New England said, "This is why I came here, was to win a Super Bowl."
Took less money.
How much of a draw, if you had a client and they said, "Aaron Rodgers isn't here, we need this and that," how much of a draw is that opposed to going to the money?
Yeah, I think it just depends on the type of client. You know, I talk about this generally with football, and I'm not slamming the union here, but I just think that the players are squeezed on the way in with this rookie scale, and on the way out where older players get squeezed out. So what you really only have a sweet spot of age 26 to 28, and that's where you make your money. So I do think if you're an agent and you're looking at free agency, you know you only got one shot here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the superstars, the Larry Fitzgeralds of the world get 2, 3, 4 big-time contracts. But this is one. And I just think if you're not at that level of pay, agents and players will go for the money because it's ingrained in them that you only got your leverage point once, maybe twice in your career if you're lucky.
Andrew, how much do the Packers actually assign a dollar value to certain position groups maybe, where we're just not going to pay perhaps a running back this high a draft pick, this much money, that kind of thing? And can you kind of, I guess you got to adhere to it if that's your plan, but just talk about that a little bit, maybe some of the inner workings there of how they approach it.
Well, I think it goes to a lot of the feelings about values of positions, obviously, where what the market sets, and the market sets heavy at tackle, at defensive end, at corner. The market sets much lighter at positions like safety and guard. So we'll, and maybe even linebacker, except for the top tier. So it's really interesting to see, you know, where this new free agent market will go. Teams, as you asked to be earlier, have this abundance of cap room, yet there aren't going to be a lot of great players in free agency. So they really do hit the jackpot because really a scarce amount with a lot of cap room. But I see it every year, though. Let's take a year ago, the big golden ticket winners, Janoris Jenkins, Olivier Vernon, Malik Jackson, Brock Osweiler, you know, really only a handful. And who was playing in that market? Not only not the Packers, I think a lot of teams sat it out and then joined in free agency when it got cheaper. You know, the Giants, the Jaguars, a few other teams were heavy, but you can't name many. So I just think it's not just the Packers kind of sitting out free agency, at least in the early parts.
Andrew, any final thoughts before we let you go?
Love talking to you, though. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, my man.
No, it's always great. I mean, I think the off season obviously is my busy time. I look forward to talking to you guys again. We'll see what the Packers do. I just think it's deja vu for me. I've been hearing this question a long time.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm even asking it now. Wow. Andrew, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking the time.
All right, guys.
People
let's talk.
Here love it. All right, you bet. Andrew Brandt. There you go, Harry Sidney. One of your compadres.
There you go.
He's on top of it, and he sounds a little bit of the frustration, too. There is a lot of cap room now, though, so if you want to be – but I understand that first day, although Janoris Jenkins earned it.
You know, here's the thing.
So did Olivier.
Here's my only thought. It does not have to be first day, but it has to be somebody that can come in and you can say, that's your spot.
I'm almost, at that, I would be, that's, I'm with you 100%. And the other thing on draft day, how about this? How about a trade up into the first round?
so you can say, that's your spot.
The playmaker. That's the guy that we're going to have do whatever it is.
He fills that void, that hole. That's his job.
It's not, with all respect, Kyler Fackrell coming off the knee injury in 1 year or whatever, and he's going to get stronger. He's a pup right now, and he will. He'll be fine and all that, and Blake Martinez and Jake Ryan and, you know.
I guess I don't want them to go get a guy that they say, man, if this happens and this happens, this happens, we got a great one. I want them to go say, great one.
It doesn't always work out that way, but I think your point, and Andrew said that, is hard to argue with. You don't want to retard the development of your young players. But what is the price if you retard the growth of the team?
Yeah,
you can't stunt the growth of the team overall for the individual. We got to get to a break, Harry. Come back. We're going to have some audio from Brady and Belichick, the Killer Bees from the parade today. Also, we're going to revisit the Twitter question. Comparisons, Packers, Patriots. You're on the Fan.